Good evening. As always, it's good to see everyone here tonight. I can't help but again thank the brethren for inviting me to be the speaker for this gospel meeting. It means a lot to me. I grew up in these congregations, South City, East Main, my home congregation, Pleasant Hill, and now, of course, I'm preaching at Pleasant Hill, and it's very gratifying to be able to come to this point in my life and be able to teach other people the gospel. And I was listening to a person speak sometime, and there was a divide in the audience. There were the older generation to the left and the younger generation to the right. And the preacher was saying to the younger generation that these people have failed. The older generation had failed. But you can succeed where they had failed. And I thought to myself, and someone actually articulated this, if they had failed, those young people wouldn't be there. And so I think it's a monument to those who have gone before us that we're here today, that we're teaching and preaching the gospel. Last night, if you were here, we dealt with what marriage is. And I pointed out what an important subject this is. We see in our nation homes crumbling around us. A new definition, but also coming with that new definition is a new morality. A new definition to the family and a new morality that's beginning to take place in our society. And that's unfortunate. It's a very important subject. Making sure that we strengthen homes. Marriage and family is the bedrock of any great society. It was because of the degradation of the sexes that God actually destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, wasn't it? That tells me something about marriage and the family. Tells me something about the home, how vitally important the home is to a society. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It doesn't matter where it is, who's doing it, it is a reproach to any people. A nation cannot rise above its attitude and its practices. Thomas B. Warren said, "The home is the chief engineer in charge of the construction of human personality." We touched a little bit on that last night. And there can be no good construction of human personality where the family is not what God intended it to be. There is no way for us to have the kind of moral, grounded adults unless the family is what God intends for it to be. Last night, again, we talked about marriage, the marriage covenant, and how important it is for married couples to understand what they've gotten themselves into. I hate to put it in that way. What you've gotten yourself into is a covenant. Don't treat your marriage like a contract. Remember that God is a part of your marriage, and you've gotten yourself into a covenant with God. And I think sometimes we forget that. Tonight, I want to look at some concerted efforts being made to actively destroy the home as God would have it. The efforts against the home are deliberate, they're ideological, and are, in fact, the work of many ideologies that have been at work in our own nation for decades. Robert Camp, I think, did an excellent job in illustrating this, and I've used this illustration several times. He says, let's suppose you were down in the depths of the murky waters, maybe the ocean, I don't know, wherever it might be, and a tentacle comes out and grabs you, and you escape it, and you move away from it only to be grabbed by another tentacle or another sea beast. He said, you might, in an instant, think that there were many monsters in that water. But if a great light were shown upon the scene, you would see that it's actually a great octopus trying to grab out on you. One mind working, but many different areas which it can attack you. For the past 60 years or more, we have seen the doctrine of evolution, humanism, materialism infiltrate our homes largely undeterred. They've come in so many different ways, and I think with some very few exceptions, Christians have persisted in ignoring the threat against the home. I don't mean to criticize my brethren, but I think we have allowed so many things to come into our family and attack our homes, our children, but even our own minds, by way of the television, by way of now the internet. Social media now is a huge thing. All of these have served as a tool of the devil. And they have actually had a huge impact on the Christian family. Over the years, it's taken many forms. It's been called progressivism. It's been called humanism. It's been called postmodernism, relativism. And of course, today we call it PC. It's not politically correct. We call it PC. But that's just another tentacle of the great beast trying to attack the home. After God made Adam and Eve, we pointed this out last night, that He said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." And of course, for thousands of years, man has been doing this, and the home has been the bedrock of every great society. How important is the home? I don't think that there's anything in human existence that is more important than the home. It's where we learn moral teaching. It's God's intention, as I pointed out last night, that the home will be a place, an environment set up, the perfect environment, where the good teaching of the gospel can have the best opportunity of being effective in a person's life. That's the intention of God. To develop a personality fit for the gospel of Christ. Unfortunately, of course, when people move away from the godly idea of marriage and the family, what do we have? Dysfunctional adults. And trying to fix that is extremely difficult. Jeremy Taylor, this is what he said. It's a lengthy quote, but I like it, so I put it down here. He said, "Marriage is the mother of the world and preserves kingdoms, fills cities and churches and heaven itself. Marriage, like the useful bee, builds a house and gathers sweetness from every flower and labors and unites societies and republics and sends out colonies and feeds the world with delicacies and obeys their king and keeps order and exercises many virtues and promotes the interests of mankind and is that state of good things to which God has designed the present constitution of the world." That's a mouthful, but it does highlight the importance of marriage and the family, doesn't it? J.G. Holland said, "No genuine observer can decide otherwise than that home of a nation are the bulwarks of national security and of thrift." His point is that when you have a solid foundation, such as the home, that is doing its job, that is actually the one great thing that will save a nation beyond any other work that that nation can do. Because what does it do? It puts God in control of that nation. Because righteousness exalts a nation. He said, "In the home of America are born the children of America. They go out with the stamp of these homes upon them, and only after these homes are what they should be, will they be what they should be." Talking about our children. But today, there is a concerted effort to destroy the foundation that God has laid with the home. A survey of American society today, if we were to survey American society today, we would see people plagued with crime, immorality of every kind, atheism, materialism. We are seeing what is emerging, which is now a new morality. Think about it for just a minute. A new morality where good is evil and evil is good. Think about our society and how our society has changed. It used to be the days where you could teach that homosexuality was a sin. No. Homosexuality is not a sin. That's good. But teaching that it's a sin, that's bad. Good is bad and bad is good. Isaiah 5:20 said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." That's what we're seeing today. The home should not be just a mommy and a daddy. It should be a mommy and a mommy, a daddy and a daddy, and a mommy and a daddy. It can be Thunderdome, and that's good. And if you teach anything different than that, then you are bad. That doesn't happen overnight for that ideology to take root in a people. As I said, there's been a concerted, a deliberate effort to destroy the teaching of God. Evildoers can be so blinded by their moral judgment that their evaluation of good and evil are complete opposite of what God actually teaches. I want to turn to a passage here. It's a passage that the Lord used to expose the Pharisees of His day. It's found in the Gospel of John. If you would, turn over to John chapter 8 with me. John chapter 8. Now, this is what Jesus says. He gives some reasons for why the Pharisees were unable to see who He really was. It's found in the Gospel of John chapter 8, and I'm going to read verse 44. "You are of your father, the devil." Look at here. "And your will is to do your father's desire." Now, keep following along with me here. "He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." They were so blinded by the teachings of the devil that they couldn't even see truth, even if it hit them between the eyes. Look what he goes on to say. "Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever's of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." What's Jesus saying? People can be so blinded by the depths of their depravity that they cannot recognize the truth. This happened to the Pharisees, and Jesus had warned them here. This is the reason why you cannot see the truth, because you are so blinded by your rebellion. People can get to that point. The destruction of the home is what is responsible for what we're seeing in our society today. You take a look around you. The promiscuity of young children. What has happened to our children in their belief system, in the way they behave? I mean, you take a look at some of the spring break things that they're showing on TV. Is mom and dad letting them go there? Have they become so numb to sin around them that they don't recognize the dangers that await their young children? The lack of love, broken families, the abdication of parental responsibility. You take a look at daycares. It is a booming business today. Why? Because parents have given up their responsibility. They've said, "Listen, I've got to go out and be a part of this community, and so I'm going to have to abandon you for now. But don't worry, I'll come pick you up at 6 o'clock. If it weren't so sad, right? This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. He's asking this question. Here's the question that he ends that section with, and this is what I want to highlight for just a minute. "When the Son of God returns, will he find faith on the earth?" Wow, let's step back for a minute and think about that. When the Son of God returns, will he find faith on the earth? I believe that he will, but to what extent? The threats against the home. Not just the new morality, but here's another threat. This has been at work for years. This is not new. I'm not telling you some secret that just happened yesterday. Feminism. In 1977, the Atlanta Journal and Constitution quoted Betty Friedan. sometimes called the mother of the women's liberation movement, as saying, "We are pro-family, pro-life, pro-love, pro-ERA, equal rights amendment." Now, I want you to think about that. Is that what you think of when you think of the feminist movement? Women's liberation movement? No, jump ahead 40 years and look at the total impact of that move. 50, 60 years, look at the total impact of what it's had on the home. It has decidedly been detrimental to the home. Why? Because it's moved away from God's plan. Anytime you move away from God's plan, you're destroying God's purpose for that plan. God has a purpose for the home. And when you move away from that, it's devastating. The movement endorses Frederick Engels' theory of sexual revolution. His assessment of the family, as it is presently understood, he says, the family must go. That's what Frederick Engels taught. The family, it's got to go. We don't want the family around. Why? Because in the home is taught values, morals. Be kind to each other. The proper respect for authority. Think about it. Even in the most carefree families, authority is taught. Respect for authority to some degree is taught in any home, isn't it? Because that's the nature of the home. And so many do not like that idea. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 12, verse 23, and verses 28 through 31. That is God's idea of a godly woman. She does him, talking about her husband, does him good all the days of his life. She's industrious. She's well spoken of throughout the community. She tends to her children. She brings them good things all the time. The feminists hate this godly woman. They want her out of the home. They do not like that disposition. We have largely ignored the repercussions of this movement. And daycare, as I said, is a booming business today. If you were to go into daycare, I think you would make a lot of money taking care of someone else's child. Was that God's plan? Was that ever God's plan? James Parsons, he wrote a book called The Assault on the Family. This is what he says. He actually quotes a feminist, Simone. And he quotes her as saying this: "No woman should be allowed to stay at home to raise her children. Women should not have that choice." Too many women will make that choice. So they want to actually remove that choice from women. Take them out of the home. Because if you give the woman the option of staying home with her newborn baby, don't you know that so many women would want to do that? So instead, let's just take that choice away from them. She goes on, she says, "It is a way of forcing a woman in a certain direction. We think that every individual woman, as well as man, should work outside and have the possibility either of communal living, collective, or another way of organizing the family, of solving the problem of child care." This is an attack against the home. This is one of the contemporary attacks in modern days against the home, is to remove mom and dad out of the influence, to be an influential force in the life of their children. The feminist movement is absolutely an anti-Christian movement. And as with most movements, it has consequences attached to it. One of which is the unisex movement that is being seen throughout our country. What do you mean, Brother Harrison? Well, the confusion of the sexes. The feminization of our young boys and the masculinization of our young women. They're trying to blur the line. And so what are they doing? Well, this is a unisex bathroom. If you don't feel like you're either or, go ahead and use this one. And how many young kids go into that one? Because, hey, why not? Young boys, of course, would, because their brains don't work properly yet anyways, because dad hadn't fully trained them. The confusion of the sexes is the newest attack against the home. The feminization of our young men, the masculinization of our young women. James Dobson, he wrote a book titled Hide and Seek. He's actually very insightful. I read the book. He said, the blurring of the sex roles being promoted by the feminist movement only adds to the confusion on the part of many young people regarding their sexual identity. He writes this. He says, there can be no doubt that this blurring of the roles is contributing to the homosexual epidemic and other related sex-confused issues that we're seeing in our society today. It's another attack against the home. It's another attack against God. Let's not forget, any attack against the home is an attack against God, but take a look at where they're hitting our young people. They're hitting them at the earliest ages. Let's get mom and dad out of their life. Let's tell them that they're neither male nor female. Let's blur the line so that they're so thoroughly confused that we can do and teach and show them any way to go. That's what we're seeing today. Charles Winnick, a professor of anthropology and sociology at City University in New York City, he said, I have done extensive research on the subject of sexual ambiguity in various civilizations of the past and have found that no civilization characterized by confusion of male and female roles has survived. He even argues that the very existence of our own republic is at stake here. He wrote a book called The New People, Desexualization in America. And it talks all about the homosexual agenda and what they're trying to accomplish with our young people. Another enemy of the home, a contemporary attack against the home. This is probably public enemy number one, even though all of these are extremely dangerous. All of these represents attacks that can just completely destroy the home. But this one is extremely important. The public education system. The tentacle that is moving very strongly is the public education. Think about public education system over the last 100 years. You go back 100 years, what were kids being taught in school? Well, about 100 years ago, mostly mom and dad were teaching the kids at home. When they did go to a school, it was a community school run by the citizens of that particular town. And what were they taught? The Bible. They were taught moral instruction and things that actually would benefit their life. In 1925, Scopes Monkey Trial placed God on trial and basically threw him out of the school, destroying God's influence in the public education system. And slowly but surely, it's been progressive. It's been moving God farther and farther away from the public eye, hasn't it? Why are they so afraid of simple teachings of right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Be afraid when you do wrong, because there's a greater judge than just the civil authorities. There is an ultimate judge. What? Aren't these good things for us to adhere to? In 1959, there was a celebration of 100 years of Darwin's Origin of the Species. President Eisenhower committed $1 billion to the Department of Education. $1 billion. And you think about that. That was back in 1959. $1 billion to the Education Department. What do you suppose they did with that? Well, in 1968, in a case known as Epperson versus Arkansas, it allowed for the teaching of creation science alongside of evolution. Now think about that. Well, okay, that's not too bad. The teaching of creation science alongside of evolution. If you look at those textbooks, there were about 3,000 words dedicated to creation science. And there was about 30,000 words dedicated to evolution. Well, by and by, eventually, in 1987, the Supreme Court ruled this to be unconstitutional. And then, of course, said you can't teach creation science at all. Think about Madeleine Murray O'Hare, best known for her Murray versus Curlett lawsuit, which led to the landmark Supreme Court ruling ending official Bible reading in American public schools. Can no longer read the Bible at that point. This came just 1 year after the Supreme Court prohibited officially sponsored prayers in public school in the landmark case Engle versus Vitale. And so now what do we have? Year after year after year, what are they doing? Kicking God out of the public education system. Well, they're replacing it with something. It's not that they just did nothing but kick God out. No, they got rid of God and they've added humanism. And our children are being fed a steady diet of humanism, materialism, of anti-morality garbage. Belief in God and the integrity of the home are principles that stand or fall together. Robert Camp once gave a speech, and his speech had to do with the dangers of evolution and the dangers of atheism, what it poses to a society. And he talked in that speech about it leads ultimately to immorality. It leads ultimately to a careless, heartless, evil society. And a gentleman stood up and asked a question. He said, well, hey, listen, wait a minute. I am an atheist. And I am a good moral person. How do you account for me? He said, sir, you were very easy to account for. You were raised by parents who were not atheists. And he said, oh yeah, I was. Because atheism, a disbelief in God, leads to one ultimate outcome. Why should children be good? Why should they listen to mom and dad? That is probably the favorite question of any child. Why? Every child asks it, no matter what's going on, but why, daddy? And I'm so thankful to God because God said so. That's it! Right? Because God said so. And He is the arbiter of morality. He is the one who decides what is wrong, what is right. And we had better obey. Because God said so. In more recent times, our own president announced that we are not a Christian nation. And now a new tentacle has reached out in an attempt to snatch the minds of our children away. Not just the public education system. It is the public education system, but it's trying to be much farther reaching than it has been in the past. I read a statistic one time. It said that by the time young people graduate high school, 88% are questioning a belief in God. What do you think about that? Now, that's not to say that they ultimately come to the conclusion that there is no God, but what impact is the education system having on a young person's mind? Where they step out after they graduate and they wonder, does God really exist? What will be the outcome in years to come? American children are questioning their belief in God. Have you ever heard of values modification? Values modification has to do with taking a child at the youngest age and getting them to question the values that they've been taught by mom and dad. They put a bunch of kids together and they typically try to mix up the kids who have no real moral foundation with kids who have a real moral foundation, and they outnumber one to the other, and then the teacher imposes a question on the group. Well, is it okay to have two mommies? Or is it okay to have two daddies? And here you have 6, 7, 8-year-olds talking about a question like that. Ultimately coming to the conclusion that, oh, I don't know, I like my dad, having two would be awesome. But I like my mom and having two would be great. We are in a battle for the minds and hearts of children. And we send them off every day into the public education system, which is trying to destroy our young people. Now, because of the public education system. Because it is failing in so many ways, not just morally, but even educationally. Many people have opted out of the public education system, and now they're going to homeschool. And actually, homeschool is growing phenomenally in this country. Well, this doesn't fit with the plans of those who would have the minds of our children. And so there is an attack underway to now outlaw homeschool. There have been basically three attacks. The first attack is academically. Well, mom and dad cannot do for the children what the public education system can do academically. Well, that's been debunked. It's been shown over and over again that kids coming out of the home are actually much more rounded in their academics than those who have been taught in the public education system. Well, who cares more for that child and their learning than mom and dad? So that's been debunked. Well, what about socialization? How are these kids going to be socialized? You ever read this? Evil companionships corrupt good morals. You stick a bunch of kids together and what's the outcome? Disaster. I tell you what, I love you ladies, but these little girls, they will make you crazy. You put a lot of them in a room and it is drama. And thankfully, my wife knows how to deal with that because I don't. I leave the room and they're all crying. She goes in and she resolves it. But you put kids together and typically they need some adult supervision, don't they? Why? Because they don't know how to act. But mom and dad do. And mom and dad can correct and show the better way to be. I don't want my kids being taught social responsibility or communication or how to deal with your peers from little kids. And it's been shown that children who are homeschooled are actually more involved in their community. They're politer. They're much more apt to be helpful, hold down steady work, less likely to engage in destructive behavior like drugs and alcohol and teen pregnancy. So guess what? Well, we can't argue with that. We can't fight that now. So what is the next wave of attack? The third wave of attack affects religious freedom. Here's the third wave of attack. Here's the argument. They are using that homeschool parents are transmitting values to their children which are destructive to the children and to society as a whole. Now that's the new wave of attack. Hey, wait a minute. You're teaching them that homosexuality is a sin? Oh, that's destructive. That's destructive not only to that child, that amounts to child abuse. There are actually people who are trying to accuse Christians of being abusive to their children for teaching them that homosexuality is a sin against God. That Jesus is the only way to heaven. Oh, no. You can't teach that. You have to believe that everything's okay. And if you don't believe that, well, that's the only belief that's wrong, you see. You have to be open-minded. You can't teach that all other religions are wrong and Christ's religion is the only true religion. That's the third wave of attack. Why? They want the minds of our children. We are in a battle, right? But the battle is not just against flesh and blood. It's against the principalities. What is he talking about? It's against the forces of evil in the heavenly places. We're fighting against those who are influenced by Satan, who want to see a new morality emerge in our children that is destructive. These are the attacks against the home. So what do we do? Let me wrap this up. The Bible school program in every church ought to be prepared to combat what is happening in the public education system. You ought to be thinking about, okay, I've got to take these children and deprogram them and re-teach them the biblical teachings of God. Because let me tell you something, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, they're being influenced not only by their teachers but by their peers. And that's why our children are leaving the public education system wondering if God even exists. Wondering if Christ is really King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Go back to the teaching of God's plan for the home. You know, it's been trampled on. One of the things that they don't like to hear is that, you know, the Bible teaches that the father's the head of the household. Oh, don't you dare say that. Oh, that's evil. But that's what the Bible teaches. And we've gotten to the point where, are we embarrassed of that? God has a plan. And we need to get back to teaching His plan. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, you follow that pattern. Teach your children the Word of God, mom and dad. When you rise up in the morning, walk by the wayside. When you lay them down at night, teach them God's way. Bind it on the doors, on frontals, across their head, on their wrists. Make it every part of their life. How many of us parents are doing that? Make sure that you teach them in every possible way about the teachings of God. And that will save their soul. And here's the last point I want to make. Parents, we have to be long-suffering. We have to never give up, never lose heart. You know, you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 5. In both of those, one of the key phrases that Paul uses is, therefore we do not lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. We cannot lose heart in any way, shape, or form. We have to be long-suffering in these things. We can't give up. Just because little Johnny comes in and says, but I really want to watch this program, or I really want to go out and hang out with my friends, and they drive you crazy to no end, be long-suffering. Certain programs that you ought not be watching, don't ever let them be a part of your household, because they're influencing the mind of our young people. Understand and know where your kids are on the line, on the internet. What social media is that they're a part of. Be long-suffering. Be diligent to save the family. And that really is the job of mom and dad. Do not put off parental responsibility to someone else. Don't even put it off for the Bible school program. 1-2 hours a week will never get the job done. When you rise up in the morning, when you lay down at night, when you walk by the wayside, teach your children about God and His plan for their life. Tomorrow night, I want to talk about one of the greatest threats, or several probably, of the greatest threats to your marriage. And that will ultimately impact the entire home. So I hope that you'll come back tomorrow night and participate in that as well. Tonight we take the opportunity to extend the invitation. If there's someone in our audience this evening who's subject to the invitation of our Lord, who said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, and you'll find rest to your soul. If you're subject to that invitation, we encourage you to respond tonight while together we stand and sing.